First came the revolution in Tunisia. Now come protests elsewhere in the Arab world. In Egypt, they're calling for an end to 3 decades of rule by President Hosni Mubarak. The unrest has claimed the lives of several protesters and at least one policeman this week. The U.S. weighed in yesterday with some stronger-than-usual diplomatic language for its close ally. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton urged Egypt to respond to the protesters' calls for reforms. Our correspondent in Cairo, NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, joins us on the line. And Soraya, what's happening today?
Earlier in the morning, there were lots of protests still going on, these small impromptu protests. And in some of the places here in Egypt, in the port city of Suez in particular, where most of the protesters were killed, they lit a government building on fire. They have been burning tires in the streets and engaging the police with rock throwing, that sort of thing. The police have in turn responded with tear gas, rubber bullets, and batons. And certainly many people are being detained there. But generally what seems to be happening, or the trend, is that these sort of protests start picking up late in the afternoon, and they go all the way through the night into the pre-dawn hours, and then things slow down for a little bit in the morning, where I guess people are sort of catching their breath and getting some sleep.
You were in Tunisia earlier this month, Soraya. How do these protests there in Egypt compare?
I posed this question to lawyers here, to the lawyers that I talked to for the detainees, to find out how they think this is different, because certainly that's an inspiration for what's going on, is what happened in Tunisia earlier. But here, the art of protest, or the culture of protest, if you will, is a little bit more established. It's been around for several years. But what's also more established is the government. They're far stronger here. So even though a lot of people are motivated, and people who've never protested before are now out in the streets taking these great risks to make their voices heard, the feeling is that this is not going to be a sudden change. This is not likely to be another Tunisia where the first family flees in a short time. The other thing that's important to note is that we've seen police forces, we've seen demonstrators, we've seen nothing of the army. And I think that's going to be a really crucial role about whether the army comes out and stands on the side of the people or stands on the side of the government or doesn't get involved at all.
And the protests, give us a sense of who's leading them.
There isn't really a single leader, if you will. There are a lot of different groups that have been involved in protests in the past that are helping organize it, but it seems to be a lot of self-generating through Twitter and Facebook, if you will, people saying, come out here, oh, there's something going on there. And that seems to be drawing people to these locations. Young people in particular are drawn to this. They represent the largest percentage of the population, and they are facing the greatest challenges here with unemployment. They finish their education, and they have nowhere to go, no job. And they're very frustrated. And so they're very much a part of it. But it's important to note that Mohamed El Baradei, the Nobel laureate, is expected to come back to Egypt tonight. He was seen, for a while anyway, as sort of a de facto leader of the opposition or of the growing popular movement. And it'll be interesting to see if he tries to take on that role again when he returns.
Soraya, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson speaking to us from Cairo.